in Podcast Detroit, recording live. Prepare yourself for a hoppy drive. If you're chilling at home, pop that growler and just kick back for the next 2 hours. It's the end of the week, so here's to the weekend. It's Better on Draft with Rob, Matt, Nick, and Ken.
Well, it's actually only two of us on the show tonight. Rob?
Although I do love that my name comes first. I don't think I ever actually paid attention to that.
You know, we needed to make sure that you felt special.
Oh.
You were the first one we invited to stay on the show, so.
Oh, I appreciate that. What is this?
It was the most fluid, I think, because right. I definitely was looking at all the names.
Right.
And of course, when we used to have, I actually talked to her earlier this week, but when Angela was on the show, and it ended with Angela.
Angela, yes.
Yeah, it definitely. Ended it really well, but it is episode 197, Better on Draft podcast. We are here live in Royal Oak, Michigan. Great to be here. Great to be home. Got home this morning, afternoon from Seattle. Had a nice little trip to Seattle.
That's
went to Optimism Brewing, which I did post on our Instagram. Nice little glassware there.
Yeah, that is some pretty cool glassware.
I almost went and bought one, but I'm like, the amount of luggage I have to bring with tools, clothes, and everything like that. It's just hard to bring more than a few things home. And, of course, I have to bring the shot of the night home.
Right. Which, although I would kind of figure that with all of the breweries that you visit, that, I mean, I wouldn't want you to be like the Hard Rock Cafe grandma and have just like a whole bunch of glasses just sitting on your shelf of every brewery that you've been to. But I always feel like you should have some sort of memorabilia from every brewery that you go to.
I'm going to be honest. I just cracked open this Blake's Hard Cider, Light Cider, Mojito Lime.
That was blocking.
Not a fan at all. I'm not a fan of mojitos, so I guess maybe I thought it would just be a little bit more of a faint taste. But that definitely kicked you in the mouth a little bit. And it's only 4 grams of sugar. I mean, I'm going to drink it. There's not I don't like abusing alcohol and pouring it down a shoot, but what do you got over there?
Right now, I'm kind of double-fisting. I've got Strawberry Brulius from Drafting Table. Figured I'd crack up one of those that I got from Oktoberfest and really enjoying the strawberry just coming off of that. And because I'm just like in this weird peanut butter phase right now, cracked open a this year's version of Peanut Butter Jelly Crime from Superstition Meadery, which is going to be some strong shit right now.
All right.
And it just pretty much you smell it almost just smells like the peanut butter in the bread. I'm just getting ready to enjoy the jelly.
Fair enough. We do have two guests in studio today from Urban Embodiment. We'll start with you. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Hello. My name is Lakeisha Coakley, and I'm co-founder of Urban Embodiment.
And next to you?
And I am Deshaun Whipdog Whipple. I am also the co-founder of Urban Embodiment, but I want to ask y'all a question.
Uh-oh.
We starting off right now. So you got UE in the building, but only two people came to talk to us? You better bring the whole family to see us, man. What's that all about?
Well, Matt's in Jacksonville right now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So he's in nicer weather for sure.
Trying to watch AEW wrestling or something.
It's a pain in the ass. He has to be out there.
Matt definitely is not the wrestling fan. That would be Nick, but yeah. Nick's part-time, and I don't know where he is this week.
Yeah, what is going on?
But October is usually hard for him because it's his birthday month, his anniversary month, and we got him out to the festival last year, or this year.
I'm not going to, no.
Don't shoot the
messenger.
It's
my birthday month, and it's my anniversary month. I'm not going to give any excuses for that shit.
I mean, who runs this company? Who runs this podcast? You need to talk to someone for sure. But all right, so what is Urban Embodiment?
Keith, go ahead and talk to him.
Well, basically, our purpose is simply just to bring people together through social activities. So initially, when we started this in 2017, we had hosted a speed dating. I had reached out to Deshaun about. I said, hey, let's put a speed dating event together, and he was all for it. So we had it. It was actually a Cola Lounge. It's in October 2017, and we had a really nice turnout. We had a really great time, and a lot of people were asking, well, what we were going to do next. So at that point, we figured we had a following right then and there, and there was a need there that we needed to fulfill. So later on, we came up with Urban Embodiment.
Saving lives out here, man. That's what we're doing. We're saving lives out here. We ain't just putting single people together. We're saving lives, man.
Saving lives.
Absolutely.
Just bringing them together.
Yes.
So, I mean, with that, obviously you've done that event. What other events followed that?
After that, our first speed dating event, we had an ugly Christmas sweater bowling party. So we had some people to come out. We did bowling, and we were all – it was kind of weird because people was in a bowling alley looking at us because we was all dressed up in ugly Christmas sweaters and Christmas paraphernalia. After that, we did another speed dating. We've done a bus trip last year to Put-In Bay. We've hosted a small business expo where we had small businesses, entrepreneurs in the Detroit area to come and solicit their products. And we also had three speakers to come and kind of give knowledge to those who were there. We had did a bus trip to Chicago this year. We have done a masquerade ball. We done an ugly Christmas sweater cabaret. We've done quite a bit.
Now, Keith, don't forget to tell them. You tell them about the Metro Detroit area, but we expand a little bit. So we're not just here. We do events in Lansing. We're going to try to take over the whole Midwest in 2020. But she's been talking about a lot of the events we've done. You know, we like to drink, too. So we got a mobile bartender battle coming up as well. But we'll talk about that later. You dig?
All right. So there was also, I saw there was another event that you guys did. I think it was called Sippin' Singles.
Ah,
which was, yes. I guess there's, I don't know, is there a difference between the Sippin' Singles and the other one, the Find a Bay?
Well, it was Sippin' Singles. We did that in partnership with a great African-American-owned wine company called Jubilee Wines. Shout out to Perry Gill and Sophia Mitchell. And they wanted to put together an event where people can taste their wines. So definitely, if you guys have Facebook or Instagram, please go check out Jubilee Wines. They have some of the most amazing spirits you'll ever try. They not only do wines, they do vodkas as well. So we did that, but we also added in the Find a Bay speed dating. So what happened was each speed dater got a free drink. So when they came in, they could loosen up, kind of like y'all did us.
Right.
We walked in the door. But besides
showed
that.
You where the bar was right away.
You dig. And that's where I was going anyway.
Like, here's the bar. Here's the
when I walked in, Keisha was like, Keisha's like, hey, they go and say, go over there. Say less. But anyway, so what we did with that speed dating, it was a party, but it was also speed dating as well. So people got a drink when they came in. And we had our wonderful angels. They're like my models. I call them angels because I'm Whip and I'm Charlie and they're my angels. So it's like Charlie's angels, but they're Whip's angels.
Right.
And they went around and they passed out little shots. So every time somebody switched at speed dating, every 5 minutes, they got a little shooter of another different Jubilee wine drink. So it was really a good experience. People had a great time. People came in, and I think Keith could agree with this. They came in nervous at first. By the end of the night, they didn't want to go home, man. They had a ball.
Look at that. Any success stories from all of these events?
Actually, we had a couple meet at our first speed dating event, and it's actually a dater and one of the vendors that we had that actually linked up. So that was the only success story that I know of, unless people, you know, some people talk to us, some people have communicated outside of the speed dating events. Now, if it went any further or not, we're not aware of it. Mm-hmm. But that one story, I know for sure that someone had hooked up at one of our events.
Well, we also have a Facebook group that's free for people to join called Singles Dating in Detroit. And people can join that as well. It's not Match.com. It's not Tinder. Trust me.
It's not Christian Mingle,
facts,
for sure.
Facts, and more facts.
No offense.
But people have joined that and have collaborated and met and hung out. We actually have a couple that has got married from our singles group. So a lot of times when we have these events, people come to speed dating. That's how they find out about us. And if they don't connect from there, which we do hope they do, we'll tell them, please join Singles Dating in Detroit. It's became a singles community as opposed to more than just a singles dating site. They interact every day. They joke. They talk. People have started business relationships, platonic and romantic. So it's a really good thing, man. And so I definitely can say we've had a lot of people connect, whether it be through speed dating or through our Singles Dating Detroit group.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, so I saw you came in with a couple cups there. What do we got mixed in there, if anything, or is it just straight?
I'm going to tell you what I do. I close my eyes, grab a bottle, and just pour. So I don't even know what I got in here. No, I'm joking. I know I got Deep Eddie in one. Pause. And then I got Deep Eddie in one, Deep Eddie vodka, and I think I did Tito's vodka in the other.
So it's just straight vodka. So
no, like, no.
I mean,
I hit it with a little squirt. Just little a little
squirt?
Bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay. So
I don't know if I can say squirt product placement. I don't know if they paying y'all.
No, they ain't paying us, but you can say that.
I think Diet Verner's would owe us a lot of money.
Since Matt's not okay. here. Yeah, that
I know how I go.
You gotta call them. So, I mean, as far as the spirits, is vodka always the one that you kind of gravitate towards, or are there any others that you kind of enjoy other than that?
I think my partner could attest to this, too, because she done known me way before this urban embodiment. First of all, let me say something. This is my best friend, so she done seen me way up, and she done seen me way down. You understand what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm.
And
so,
in between.
Are you done? Are you done? Are you done?
Go ahead.
All right. So, yeah. So, as far as I pretty much, I'm all over the board. People say I'm a white liquor drinker. I'm a dark. I'm a wine. Since I got a little older, I'm actually been dabbling more in the wines. Shout out to Audie's, man. You get like 30 bottles of wine for $8, dog. For real. Shout out to Audie's, man.
Audie does have a lot.
Facts.
In there. A lot in there. That's true.
But I have been dabbling more in the wines. But, and I go to Frankenmuth a lot. So, I like their flavored cherry wines and different things like that. But I'll still do a little, vodka. Anybody that makes a great Purple Rain out there, trust me, holla at me. You already know what it is.
I've not had a Purple Rain in a long time.
People talk about Long Island as a good MF, but
right.
Purple Rain is the one.
Oh.
Erotic City Prince.
I've not had that in a long, long time.
I don't think I've ever had a Purple Rain.
I mean, in a sense, it's very similar to a Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
looking at it right now. It says vodka, lemonade, blue curacao, and grenadine.
And the purple chambord has to top it off.
In the top, exactly.
It says rim purple sugar garnish lemon slice. That is from Tipsy Bartender, as much as I don't trust them.
Well, hold up. You don't like the Tipsy Bartender?
So here's my issue with Tipsy Bartender. They make sometimes some of the most ridiculous drinks out there. Some good, some bad. But then someone's watching it, goes to a bar, asks for that drink as if it is the most standard drink in the world, like an Old Fashioned or a Tom Collins even. Mm-hmm. And the person's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. It's the Russian, the Russian Five will be the name of the drink. And they're like, what is in this drink? Oh, you don't know what the Russian Five is? So that's my beef with Tipsy Bartender is being in the restaurant industry. Now, if you came to me with the instructions on how to make the drink as a bartender, I'm going to try to make the drink for you. But if you come to me and ask for this drink and I'm like, what? Now, as a bartender, you should have a wealth of knowledge of a lot of drinks. Mm-hmm. But there's only so many drinks you can fit in your head.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I always bring up, like, every time I go to a wedding or any type of outing that has an open bar, I never give them the name. I always just tell them what's in it. Two parts scotch, two parts amaretto, and just make the damn thing.
Because
if I say Godfather, they're like, what's a Godfather? I mean, just might as well just explain the damn thing.
I want to piggyback off what you said about Tipsy Bartender. Mm-hmm. Now, I like some of his drinks. I think they're exotic. But my problem is, man, if you end up buying all that stuff he got, you're going to spend about $500 on one drink. Man, that's my problem with him, dog.
That's a lot.
One thing that I don't like, and maybe a little bit of a discussion here, because a lot of us are liquor drinkers. I've become a little bit more of a liquor drinker. I did go to an event. I actually went to a wrestling event over at DCD, over at the distillery. It was like old-timey wrestling.
Yes,
so it was
this
very, very, very – it's a huge show that they put on. It's definitely fun for the family, great, and there's like a live band that does the entrance music too.
Oh, that's
and it's
awesome.
All like ragtime music, really, really fun. But they had pre-made cocktails, and I just don't think you can get away with pre-made cocktails at any type of event. Now, when you have like Long Islands or something like that, and you're selling them for $2 a piece, I'm there to get drunk. I'm not there to drink a Long Island for the flavor. I don't know anyone who drinks the Long Island for the flavor. They're drinking it for the alcohol. You're lying to yourself if you're saying you're drinking it for the flavor.
So what is your, what do you have, why don't you like pre-made drinks? Because they're too weak, or because they
don't mix well, I don't think. Especially if you're coming at me with like a pre-made Moscow Mule that's got multiple, and you're like, there's no way to make a gallon-sized pre-made drink that's consistent all the way around.
I agree.
You know, there's cocktails like, alcohol cocktails. Like if you give me like a Twisted Tea or
what's
not an Arnold Palmer. What's the alcoholic one? I was about to say Jack Nicholson, but that's not it. It's the drunk guy, the big guy who plays.
Oh, the John Daly.
The John Daly, yeah. Yes. The alcohol spiked Arnold Palmer. Like, those are okay, like flavored drinks, but when it's something that's pre-made that big, it just doesn't taste good at all. Like, for me at least. And I felt bad, but I called like DCD out. I'm like, you know, you guys can't do that. That just tasted I drank it because I bought it.
Yeah,
I'm not going to return alcohol.
Right.
Being a distillery,
you would think it'd be a little bit more top notch. And I understand they're trying to turn because that line was long.
Right.
And they're trying to turn customers, and it's a lot easier to pre-make drinks. But in the same sense, if I'm waiting in that long of a line, I want a nicely made drink, or at least limit your menu to just one and ones or neats. I should have just stuck with neat. Yeah. I like my whiskey neat now.
Oh, good for you. About damn time.
Now, guys, I know y'all have a list of questions y'all want to bring up and stuff, but I want to ask y'all a question if you don't mind.
You can ask us any question you want. We're here for hours.
And we're talking about drinks and liquor. And I think everybody here, I know I have, I know my partner has. Have we all went to college here?
Yeah.
Do you remember what was your very first drink that you ever had? Do you remember, Keish?
Yeah.
What was your very first drink? Talk to him.
It was Blue Maui.
Where at? What did it do to you?
Everything.
I can't remember, but I remember.
Of course, my roommate's
boyfriend had introduced me to it, and it was my very first drink. It was blue, and he put the cherry in the bottom for garnish, and that's all I remember.
I'm looking it up right now because I had never heard of it, but it's some form of schnapps.
Yeah. Maui. I don't know if they have it anymore.
I think Curacao's in that too.
Well, no, this looks like it's just a drink, like it's an actual bottle, like peppermint schnapps or apple watermelon schnapps or whatever. I also just learned that it's a strain of weed.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, that you do. As far as myself, I'm probably going to be the most boring one in the group because in college I didn't drink.
That was what, the 60s?
What? Oh, man. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get this going.
I honestly did not have my first alcoholic. Well, let me take that back because, you know, there used to be those years where mom used to give us fuzzy navels on New Year's. But outside of that, the first drink that I had willingly went after I turned 21, and it was a Molson Ice, and it was the most regretful thing I think I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah, if you never had beer before, it'd definitely be, yeah.
That stuff was absolutely horrible.
For me, my mother is actually a huge fan of the show, so she learned this from me on the show. speaking of New Year's, my family used to go to the Bavarian and Lodge for New Year's every year.
Because
the kids can run out at all the pools, the arcades, and the adults can go drink and have fun. And, you know, you didn't have to worry about your kid running out of the whole place because why are you going to leave an arcade?
Uh-huh.
Now, for me, when my parents would go downstairs to the bar to drink, we would go up to their room and we would make ourselves 7 and 7s.
How old were you at this time?
12.
Lord, have mercy. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
What's wrong with a 7 and 7? I still drink that.
You were 12.
I might have been 13.
Lord.
No, I was probably. I mean, when did South Park come out? Because that's definitely when we were doing it.
Jeez.
96?
Something
like
that.
No, I might have been younger then if it was. Because I was born in 86. So if it was 97, I was 11. 11 or 12 probably for drinking 7 and 7s. My dad used to buy me Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Okay.
As a kid, because it was so sugary that I could drink it and be cool because, you know, I'm a youngin' drinking alcohol, but never really had too many issues. But, yeah, 7 and 7 was always my go-to.
Okay.
My parents had a liquor cabinet they never touched, which sucked, so I would have to, like, pour out some whiskey, pour a little bit of water inside, water, you know, swish it around to make it whole.
Wow.
Yeah, for me, it definitely was a 7 and 7. In the chat, we actually have some people chatting right now. Eric Rippey says his first was an Alabama Slammer.
Nice.
Elise Johnson says Pop Off and Arizona Tea.
Woo!
What about you, though?
Okay. And first of all, I think my mama's watching this because I just shared it to our Urban Embodiment Facebook page, and she's a minister. So, Lord, mama, forgive me.
Statute of limitations.
I don't drink, mom. Exactly. It's 100 years ago. My first drink, it's funny I said she's a minister. I grew up in the church. So, at first, I'm like, I'm never going to drink. Not at all. Then I go to Michigan State University.
Ooh. Go green.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going way back in 98. So, yeah, we used to party. But, so what I did was I started off soft with the Seagram's cooler deals. Because I was still scary. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was still scary.
Hey, but nothing wrong with a little wine cooler.
I was a little scary, so I just started off with a Seagram's cooler. From there, because they used to give it to us in Michigan State. I'm going to get y'all in trouble. They didn't even check our ID for that. So I'm only 18, and I was able to grab those at the Quality Dairy. Yep, I'm telling on y'all right now.
All the Quality Dairy.
Without any problems, you understand? But from there, I start going into the Mike's Hard Lemonade, to the Cranberry and Vodka. Then it became Open World, and I was whatever.
I cannot tell you. So my friends were very, very, like, let's get drunk in the – because a lot of my friends went to Michigan State. Like, let's get drunk in the dorms. Let's not go out or do anything. Because, I mean, it's hard as a 19, 20-year-old to go out because there's nothing for you to do. You can't go into a bar. You can't do anything. So you're just going to walk around drunk, probably get an MIP, and get screwed.
Yep.
For me, though, on the other hand, what I would do is that because I knew where all the fraternity houses were, and I realized at a very young college age that – if you walk into a house party and say you know Jeff, every party lets you in. So I would turn on to MAC, walk down, look for a house. So you would see people hanging out, open door, and I just walk in and start drinking.
It's funny you said that because I'll tell you, one day me and my homeboys did the exact same thing. We're literally just walking up. Now, keep in mind, at this time, I'm still kind of corny because, like I said, I was a church boy. I had a halo on my head. I actually still have a halo, actually.
I was going to say, I just smelled her eyes roll. That's how bad it was.
What happened that night?
Anyway, we would do that. We would just walk down the street, and we would find whatever house, any frat house, walk in, say, what up, bros? And then we say, how you doing, guys? Now, we didn't use Jeff. I wish I would have thought of that. But and people, like here, they would just put drinks in our hands. So, I mean, we would all, it happened all the time.
Now, see, the Jeff is if someone questions why you're there. You don't draw attention to yourself. You go in acting like you're supposed to be there.
Supposed to be there, exactly.
Because I was supposed to be there. It was a party, and I was obviously, you know, the invite did not come to my AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh, jeez.
See, sex
it was a battle between Yahoo Messenger and AOL Messenger. When I was school, they're like, you got Yahoo Messenger? I'm like, no, I got AOL. You got AOL? No, I got Yahoo. Because with Yahoo, you could put, like, the little backgrounds with the little hearts that rain and everything.
I had a lot. Because, you know, living in Detroit, I used to go to Canada all the time.
Yes.
Because obviously drinking age in Detroit is 19 because you just crossed the border.
Shout out to 112 and Windsor Music Cafe.
Windsor Music Cafe.
They gone now, but shout out to them.
We were actually just talking about Windsor last week, I think, when we were with Copper Hop because we were talking about the Honest Lawyer, which closed down as well. That whole Olette Street is a lot different, but I also never seen it in daylight when I was young.
Whoa. You said Olette. You got to say it with that French accent. Well, come on, man. I know you got it in you.
It's Windsor.
It's okay. Olette.
Okay, fine.
Now, you mentioned about going from Mike's Hard, Seagram's, those types. What is your opinion on the White Claws and the seltzers going on right
Trulies
now?
Bon
and Vif, that's my jam.
Man, it's funny you said that. I have a friend. Shout out to Justin. He's a bartender at J.P. McGuire's and Taylor.
Oh, your face is right on this camera right here, and everyone is seeing your opinion of White Claws.
My partner here, we do our own live podcast in Singles Dating Detroit I talked about earlier. And the one thing they admit all the time is talk about her facial expressions. Even if she don't say nothing, it's written all over your face.
It was all there.
You don't have to say a word. Exactly. But anyway.
So she don't like it. What about you?
But going back to the White Claws, I'm going to tell you. I live in Dearborn. There's a store around me. I might have dabbled in the White Claws from time to time. I think it's a good warm-up for the real liquor.
Why not mix the White Claws with the liquor? Add a little gin to it?
It's a good idea. What time is the show over?
Show's over at 9 o'clock.
That's where I'm going. Thanks a lot, bro. I got a cabaret to go to. I'm headed there now. Shout out to Rod at Toy Chest. Headed there next.
Yeah, I would not. Yeah. Seltzers, no.
At all?
No. No.
So let's go back to Zima. How old are you?
I'm 43.
So you remember Zima?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You didn't like problem. It? I remember Zima.
You didn't like it?
Oh, hell no. No. It was just
man,
like.
What kind of show is this, man?
This is actually a beer show.
Oh, well, fine.
I mean. I've told Matt when he's here. I've told Nick when he's here. I've told Ken. To me, seltzers taste like somebody made some shitty alcoholic Kool-Aid and forgot the sugar.
It well, I mean that's why I like it, because I hate sugary drinks, or I hate sugar, period. I always say it tastes like the taint of a fruit. It's like a very faint flavor of the fruit. You ain't drinking it. Well, I mean, you ain't drinking it for the taste. It tastes like almost like a really bad like water that was kind of sitting in lime or sitting in, you know, lemon. Like you go to a hotel or something like that, and they have the little fruit sitting in the water, and you pour yourself a little glass of water. Now, we did mention we are a beer show, so do you guys have a beer drink that you go towards? Whether it's a bottle, a can, a style.
I'm a Mike's Hard Lemonade kind of girl. I also do the Twisted Tea, and I like the Ritas, the Budweiser Rita line.
The Lime-a-Rita, the Strawberry,
the Water-a-Rita, the Peach-a-Rita.
See, now those are very sugary to me. Yeah.
Tell them what you really do. If she find a new one come out, she'll text me the screenshot like,
no, he started it. He started it. When they put the little ads on, and I don't know what it is with Facebook and these phones and everything, but it's like it sees what you're thinking. And it's like you scroll through and then this ad comes up and it's like, oh my God, I didn't do a search. I didn't do anything. And he would tag me in it like, Keisha, you gotta go get this. Keisha, you gotta go try that. So you started that. So don't put that on me.
We ain't gonna break up the team right in front of these people, man.
You don't have any beer or anything like that? Even like a Budweiser if you're sitting at someone's house?
I don't like beer. I don't like beer at all. But I would do like a Mike's Hard Lemonade or a Seagram's or something flavored, or even a Smirnoff flavored kind of drink. I'm not a beer person.
Well, I do like beer to a degree, and I'm going to shout her out because I told her I would. Shout out to my girlfriend. She actually lives in Lansing, and you know what I'm saying? So up there, they got a store called Horrox. I don't know if you're familiar.
Yeah, I am familiar with Horrox.
Horrox has a beer bar in there.
Yes.
So I get to try a lot of the ciders every time I go up, and we go right up there, and we taste all the ciders. So I'm more of a cider guy. Last year, for my birthday, she got us tickets in Lansing. They had at the Lugnuts Arena a beer festival. So any type of
Paul Starr's jam over there.
Oh, okay.
We know who he is.
So any type of ciders, I'm all about. Mm-hmm. But if it's not a cider, and shout out to Founders, man. I used to date this chick, man, and she put me up on Rubeus at Founders.
Rubeus is good.
It is amazing.
Now, see, you might like Rubeus because that's a very, very fruity beer.
It's a fruity grapefruit. And they actually got a Founders here, don't they?
In Detroit, over in... I don't think it's Midtown. It's technically...
It's fucking Cass Corridor.
Cass Corridor, right. Yeah. I just said it's not Midtown.
I know. I
knew I was correct.
It's not called the Midtown.
Calm down.
But other than that, it's like now, I don't... I'm going to tell you, I know, and I was going to ask you guys, but she already brought it up. Beer guys don't like Bud Light and stuff. They want real beer.
That's not true.
Not true at all.
Not true at all.
Because all the beer guys, they like... No. I like IPAs. I like ales. I'll do like a Bud Light Lime, Bud Light Orange. But I
would probably say that all of us here on the show, we may have, you know, the Strawberry Brulius or, you know, this peanut butter beer, but you put a PBR in front of us, we'll drink that.
Seriously. The big thing about those mainstream beers, main company beers that a lot of people have issues with is the company itself and not the actual beer. Now, the beer is not very... It's not beer that you could drink. Like, if you give me the option to taste, for instance, you know, something very bad versus something very good, both are going to give me, let's do 5 o'clock vodka.
Yeah.
If you're going to give me 5 o'clock vodka, or you're going to give me this nice vodka from, say, Two James Distillery or something like that. They make one.
Two James.
I'm going to go with the Two James one. But if you pour me a shot at like 5 o'clock and you're like, hey, let's party, I'm going to be like, all right, let's party. So it's a lot more about the business that people don't like. So they actually have in their portfolio plenty of craft breweries. Elysian, Wicked Weed, Blue Moon, Killian's. Like, they have craft e-beer and craft breweries under their belt that are owned by Anheuser-Busch or MillerCoors. But again, people don't want to drink that because of the business practices by Anheuser-Busch. That's what they're not a fan of. More so than, again, the flavor, because they want bitter as opposed to corn, rice, lager-style beer.
Okay. Yep. So what are you guys' favorite beers?
I'm all over the damn place.
Okay.
I will have the IPAs. I'm probably more particular to porters and stouts. I do like the darker beers, and really with the darker beers are typically the stronger beers. So porters, stouts... I know a lot of people don't like the style too much, but barley wines are probably one of my favorites. But those are and can be relatively strong because I don't think I've run into a barley wine that's less than 12% ABV. Most of them I kind of mess with are around 14. And there are even with that, there are a couple even stouts that will play around between 15 to 20%, which shout out to the brewery's Black Tuesday, one of the strongest barrel-aged stouts that I think I've ever had. I think it was like 20.5%.
Now, let me ask you, there's a term I've always heard, and I've used it only because I've heard other people say it.
Okay.
Hoppy. What does that mean in relationship to IPAs, ales, or whatnot?
So it basically, and I know I'm going to screw this up, guys, so I'm sure they will correct me in the chat. But hoppiness tends to, I guess, in my definition, will refer to the bitterness of the beer. The more hops that are thrown in, it can, depending on, you know, it depends on the recipe and what the brewer wants to do as to whether or not they want that bitterness and that hoppiness to be at the front when you take the first sip or at the back when it's all gone down.
I see. Nope.
In regards to hoppiness, like for me, I use it word in word, like, you know, one for one in regards to bitterness.
Okay.
Kick you in the face, piney, IPAs, high bitterness, the stuff that makes you like pucker your mouth because it's just on the tongue, it's abusive. There's different types of hops, though. Some hops have a lot of citrus flavor right. to them, which gives it a lot more smoother flavoring. But it also, again, there's the yeast that changes it. There is the malt bill that changes it. So there's so many different things that edit what the hops can and will do. So for instance, like this, like every beer you're going to have is going to have hops in it, no matter what.
Right.
So it just depends on how much, or the style of hops and what else is in this beer. So like the beer that I just poured right now, I had from Trillium, which is in Vermont.
Trillium is Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, yeah.
Yes.
So they're known for their IPAs, which is their kick-in-your-face bitter beer. But this is a Current Farm Ale, so C-U-R-R-A-N-T, Current Farm Ale. So it's going to be a little sweet, a little sour. I haven't had a chance.
There's that sourness. Holy shit.
Oh, you got it. Wow. So Rob's not a fan of the sours. What do you think of the sour, though?
I'm going to tell you, I like that. Like, because, again, like I said, I like sour ciders. So anything sour, I'm a fan of. I'm feeling real good.
So like this, you're going to get a lot of salt in it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to taste the salt as opposed to, you know, it's almost like eating a warhead.
I like that. Now, guys.
It's a little more fruity.
You know, got all this liquor in me. I'm going to pass the mic to my partner. I'm going to make a restroom break. I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
We'll still be here.
What, Mike. Ooh, good catch. No spill.
No You're
spill.
You're cut off. You're cut off.
No, I just good catch.
Yes, drinks cut off.
All right. Thank
you. We got it.
All right.
It's a little teetery, but it'll make it.
What is your favorite event that you like to run for Urban Embodiment?
That's an interesting question. I do like doing the speed dating. Everything that we do, I kind of enjoy doing it. You know, we wouldn't do it if we wouldn't enjoy it. But what I really do like is when we do the small business expos, we did two. We did one here and we did one in Lansing. And we get a lot of positive feedback from it. And a lot of people, they network with each other and kind of make partnerships and stuff like that. So I really do enjoy doing the small business expos.
What is your small business expo? Like, what's the goal? Is it just pure networking or?
Yeah, so what we do usually is free to the public, and then we sell vendor tables. So we usually have about 15 vendors there, entrepreneurs. We had the last one we did in Lansing, we had KL Collections. We had Zalise, who specializes in the CBD oil. We had Consumers Energy come out. We had a lot of different vendors selling all kind of different things there. That came out, and so patrons come, and you know, if they like this items or whatever, they can buy, and then the vendors sometimes buy from each other and they swap each other's business cards or whatever. So those usually turn out pretty nice.
Do you have a day job, something that, or is this your day job?
No, I do have a day job. I won't say what it is.
That's
but,
okay.
But yes, I do work full time, and I also have another side hustle that I do, and I'm also a single parent.
You know, well, that's a full-time job right there.
Yeah.
One of the things that I feel is uniquely Detroit, and you guys can agree or disagree with me, is that everyone in the city always has a side hustle, something that they're doing, something extra on the side, something that they...
Detroit hustles hard.
There it is right there. But, you know, that's you know, this is my side hustle. Matt has his with we do a monthly swag box, kind of like a loot crate.
Yep.
Seriously.
Yep. So, you know, I think it's just very uniquely Detroit. I don't know if I've ever seen it really outside of the city.
I know I have mine with enough with trivia. So,
oh yeah, I used to host pub trivia. You host it.
Whoa.
Hi.
What company do you work trivia for?
I work for Spork Alive. Whoa.
I'm a trivia host for my Trivia Live.
Oh, so we're competitive.
We got to end this show right now. Thank you very much for having us.
In all fairness, he hosts for Quizzo. So it's a triangle of trivia terror.
You're cut off.
But I mean that kind of proves you're a trivia host / urban embodiment / I'm assuming mm-hmm. there's something else that you probably do
absolutely.
In regards to work like that. That is such a uniquely Detroit thing, and or it could be just a generational thing where we just all need money.
I once literally said because I like to travel a lot. I you know, Vegas, I call that my second home, but different places. And, you know, you go to other places, and some people that are tourists can't handle the environment, if you will.
Right.
But I think somebody from the Metro Detroit area can go anywhere because we know how to hustle, and we'll be okay. Would you agree with that?
I can agree with that.
Well, I have to ask, since you mentioned Vegas, what's your game of choice?
I am not a gambler.
Really?
I am a partier.
Well, that is another city to go to party.
But I tell you, if I do play anything, I am a big fan of blackjack. Blackjack and slots. I'm pretty confident in my blackjack game. But yeah, that's about it for me.
No, I mean, might as well ask, do you gamble at all? Do you play any games?
Sporadically, I do. Whenever I go to the casino, I never hit more than like $100. You know, $100 is like my max. I don't ever like, well, the machine is hot and hit for 900 or hit for 12 or anything like that. But
we talked about this before you got here. You're always supposed to make the story seem bigger. Say you won like 5 racks or something. Girl, we talked about how.
Honesty is the best policy. And I don't want to get jumped after here thinking someone thinks I got all this money. Okay.
Shout out to Keith.
Your mother is listening, and do you want to tell her that you're just a big liar?
You're right, because I owe my mom about $20,000 for all the years her taking care of me and feeding me. So
it's probably more than that.
Right.
I was going to say I can only imagine if my mother gave me a bill for all the things that I wanted to do as a kid and all the things that I got that I never. Finished, like, you know, I got a guitar, and then I never really learned how to play it.
Right.
I tried, but I just could not. I couldn't get to it. I knew how to play "Smoke on the Water," a little Deep Purple, "Brain Stew."
Did you ever? No.
I also learned the 16 notes to Eminem's 8 Mile, or "Lose Yourself." Sorry, proper terminology.
Keisha, do you remember? Because. I mean, I don't know if you guys got a second. We could tell our backstory how we even met.
Yeah, go for it.
We used to work together at the, we can't say we worked at, but we used to work together. And I took her to get her ID. And I don't know. I just used to tell her every day about my weekend excursions.
His escapades.
Yeah, because back then I was a little bit wild. I'm a child of God now.
Okay.
You going to do that in front of these people? You going to do it in front of them?
Okay.
I wanted that reaction.
But anyway, please take the camera off her face because y'all don't need to see this. But we just got really cool. And, we stopped working there, but we just remained cool. And we literally ended up becoming best friends. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. We always talk about this. It's been a constant. We've been so close. I mean, literally, we're up and down. We know everything about each other. People always thought we were like dating.
We were married.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. I would get somewhere before him, and they're like, "Where's your husband?" And I'm like, "My best friend."
But you know, jokes aside, like I said, so we worked together. And like I said, she said earlier we started this idea. But after that, man. So with that being said, she knows how much I drink and how much I party and how much I have fun. Well, when I was younger,
how much he convinces me to drink.
If we get a chance, we're going to talk about a story called "Go Hard Quiche."
Go hard quiche. All right.
Yeah.
So before we take a quick break, because we're up against the break, I want to know, because obviously you like to go to Vegas, you like to party. Where is your go-to bar, casino, club in Vegas? Or maybe a secret that somebody should go check out?
Man. Well, first of all, and it's funny you said that, is it Dais? They have like a day party. And I saw Chris Brown. They have like a pool and everything. It's a summer pool party. Dais, I want to say, is the name of it. But that's my place I like to go to. I really enjoy that place. People are just drinking, having a good time, and I've always enjoyed it.
Yeah. I can't do the pool and alcohol. Like you were talking about Put-in Bay and doing a trip to Put-in Bay, and I remember swimming up to the Put-in Bay bar. But I also learned when the kids, we'll say the 20-year-olds, show up to the bar versus when the adults are showing up at the bar. So like during the day, the adults are hanging out at the bars and at the brewery, distillery, winery, all these places. And then the second it like turns like 8 o'clock, the whole thing flips, and it's all kids, barely any adults. Yeah. The place is crowded. You're like, what happened to Put-in Bay? Completely different. But I went there once for a bachelor party, and then I actually just went back earlier this year for the first time in probably a decade, and man, it was crazy. But we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna listen to Brother Sun from the Ferndale set. We will be right back with the Better on Draft podcast.
I'm headed for the city, trouble in my mind. I'm way too young and pretty. All we have now, so let's make something while we can. I'm headed for the city to make me start again. Conversation I wonder, gotta go, gotta get it. No one day, gotta go, gotta get it.
Seven. Better on Draft Podcast. Still in studio with us, Urban Embodiment. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
You know what? We were too busy talking the entire break, and I forgot to pour myself a drink.
Which one do you want?
You can just literally hand me any bottle over there, and I'm just going to pour myself a
there
little
you go.
Bit.
Peanut butter
jelly crayon.
I'm probably going to hate this beer.
Peanut butter.
There you go. I don't even know what that means.
Thank you very much. What was Superstition Meter?
Yes.
I mean, I know what that means, but I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, give it a try. And actually, that kind of goes to a question because you talk about ciders and having ciders. Have you ever had, are there any meads that you've ever had?
I don't even know what that means.
Well, go ahead and pour some of that in your glass, and
it
you'll start to find out.
It is a honey fermented ale. So.
Wait a minute. He put it right in front of me. He didn't put it in front of my partner. He put it right in front of me.
I mean, he can't reach. He's not Mr. Fantastic.
You,
he can't reach
my
that
mama is watching this, man.
Emma.
And she wants to hear your opinion on peanut butter and jelly crime.
Yeah.
That's why she just posted in the chat room, I want to hear my son's opinion on peanut butter and jelly crime.
And I have a strong pour, so pause. So, yeah.
Well, while you're tasting that, we're actually going to give away two tickets to the Michigan Brewers Guild Fall Beer Festival next weekend. These are VIP tickets, meaning you get to come in with the enthusiasts.
Wow.
So an hour early before everyone else.
Except us.
Before everyone else, so you get in the enthusiast line, you get to start a 1 hour head start at a drinking festival.
Yep.
And your winner is going to be Laura Carr out of Holt, Michigan. We will reach out to you to find out which day you want to go, whether it's Friday or Saturday. But you have won the two tickets. Congratulations. Thank you. You actually won by subscribing to us on Spotify. So,
nice.
Yay, Laura.
Yeah.
Congratulations. We're actually going to be giving away a $20 gift card later this segment to a brewery of somebody's choice. So if you're in the chat room, make yourself known so that you know you can potentially win. What did you think of the mead?
I'm going to tell you, I like that, man. I would have never thought about a peanut butter jelly beer.
No, it is a mead, so it's a little different because it's fermented honey.
Wow!
Whereas the beer,
I didn't plan on being educated here. Wait a minute. He's shaking his head.
He's
no,
shaking
you're
his
wrong.
Head.
Talk to me.
No, he's right.
Yeah.
That's
oh.
wrong. That drink.
You know what? You know what?
No,
that's
no.
What
you know what? Here, if you want,
that's
you can,
where
you
right.
can top yours.
That's where I was losing him. Okay.
I'm gonna tell you.
I'm trying to make sure where I was losing him at.
I don't know if anybody follows me on Facebook. You can Deshaun Whipple add me. Whenever I drink, there's a very specific thing I do, and I think I know what the problem was. I put my pinky up. Hashtag pinkies up. So every time I have a drink, and see, he didn't put his pinky up. That's why he doesn't like it.
Oh, well, no, he just doesn't like it because he doesn't like the flavor
it's
of it.
It's sweet.
It is very
and
sweet.
And sugar.
Yeah.
And I don't get any honey. I just get pure jam.
There's a lot. There's a lot of jam that does come off of that.
And that is just
and it's very
not my jam.
For me, it is definitely, you get the jam up front. It's like that is right at the front end. And then at the back, it's kind of more of like this combination of like the peanut butter and oddly the bread. There's a little bit of like a bread kind of taste to it, but it doesn't interfere with, you know, with the overall like, you know, you're soaking a piece of bread with this.
I get a little bit of like a nut butter, but I don't get any bread, any biscuit. I just get pure jam. And
where did y'all buy this at? Where did y'all get this from?
Oh, that is a shout out to 8 Degrees Play-Doh's where I bought that one.
Okay.
That is located in Detroit on Cass.
Yep. Superstition Meadery is out of Arizona.
Arizona, yes.
So Arizona Meadery, I'm sure they have more meads that are my style, but that is just not my.
Yeah. And I mean, my thing is, I like Superstition just because I feel like I get more mead per dollar as opposed to getting anything from Schramm's. Now, don't get me wrong, Schramm's by far is probably one of the best mead makers in the country. Bee Nectar is up there too, which I love Bee Nectar because I mean their price point is awesome for the meads that they make. But if I'm going to go to a store and I'm going to pick something up, I'm usually kind of going towards Superstition or Bee Nectar. I'll have Schramm's if somebody's like cracking open a bottle because for me it's like obviously the ingredients that they use are super high quality. And I understand, and when you're fermenting and making an alcoholic beverage with honey is expensive as hell. And it makes sense that mead costs a lot more. But I'm a cheap ass, and I want myself to be good and cheap at the same time.
Nice. They can't do that.
I know.
You got to spend the money.
You got to spend the money.
Go to Aldi's.
Aldi doesn't have mead. Aldi just has beer and wine.
Right, fine.
I don't think I've ever had any Aldi beer or Aldi wine.
It closes at 10.
It's
we leave here at 9. Let's go.
It's serviceable.
There's no Aldi by me.
Can you tell people where you live?
No, there is no
I live in Lafayette Park.
There is no Aldi near you.
Lakeisha, what city is that?
That's Detroit.
That's in Detroit. That's
you're right. So definitely the Aldi's in Detroit.
And it's 108 Mile in Wyoming by Kroger. Yeah. Right down the street from Kroger.
That I think that would be your closest one.
If you guys ever have us again, I'm going to bring you some Aldi. I'm just going to pick random Aldi's drinks and bring them, okay?
Okay.
That now you see, I put it out there. So they got us bring us back, right?
We need to do an Aldi taste test.
I do the Aldi energy drinks because Aldi always has a lot of keto-friendly food items, so I always go to Aldi's when I'm
Bingo
shopping.
Square.
Thank you. I always go there when I'm shopping in a different city and I don't know where I am. I'll either go to Aldi or Whole Foods just to fill up on because I can't. It's hard to eat in restaurants, so I'll always have pork rinds, dips, chips. Prosciutto and cheese, that kind of stuff. Easy food to eat while you are on the road. So what is, can you guys explain to me, what's a mobile bartender?
Mobile bartenders are basically mobile. They're not like stationed at a certain bar. Most bartenders, they just bartend at the bar. But a mobile bartender is able to bartend anywhere, so you can hire them to do your private parties, birthday parties. I know some that do kid parties, of course, with spirit-free drinks or whatever. If you're hosting a cabaret or anything like that, that bartender will come and they will set up and, it is what it is, mobile bartenders.
Okay. Now, what is the competition that's upcoming?
Okay, so our mobile bartender battle will be November 22nd at 17500 North Landcourt Park, and we're going to have several mobile bartenders from the area. Patrons, it is $15 to come in, and we're going to give them 5 free sample drinks, and then if they want to buy additional drinks from the different bartenders that's there, they're able to do that. Then we're going to take a vote on who they like the best. And then we'll tally those votes, and then at the end of the night, we'll announce a winner.
Absolutely. Some of our things on the list will be presentation, because, some of the mobile bartenders have amazing design in their setup. They might have sweet tarts or some type of candy in their drinks. Each one has their own special drinks. We're going to talk about presentation, taste, even the friendliness of the bartender, because let's be honest. If you've ever been to a bar, a friendly bartender is a bartender to get your money. Am I lying?
Nope.
He takes care of you, right?
Nope. He takes care of you.
So we're going to judge at the end of the night. And like she said, they're going to get an amazing prize from Urban Embodiment.
And how can people enter? Can anyone enter? Do you need certain certificates to be able to enter? Or?
Well, right now, it is open. If you are a mobile bartender, you can check out our Facebook page. Or email us at urbanembodiment313@gmail.com. Right now, we have some great bartenders already signed up. I'm going to say a couple of them just for, replay purposes. We got Nick, as you know, Nick Britsky.
Nick Drinks.
Shout out to Nick's Drinks. We got Rock the Bar. They're going to be there. And we got a big time mobile bartender in the Detroit area called La La Libations. They've taken care of amazing and many events in the Detroit area. So they're going to be there. And we still have opportunities. So if you want to be a bartender at this event, you can. Just email us at urbanembodiment313@gmail.com. Also, like she said before, you can be a part of this event. If you just want to come and drink, because just like you guys enjoy a good drink, come out. It's right in Southfield. It costs you only $15, and we'll give you 5 free samples. All you have to do, we have an Eventbrite set up, or you can Cash App us at
PayPal.
Yeah, Cash App, PayPal, Zelle. Cash App is $Urban Embodiment, one word, or PayPal and Zelle, urbanembodiment313@gmail.com. Get your tickets for that. It's going to be a great night, a fun night. We're going to have music. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We have vendors. Trust me, if you enjoy drinks, Keisha, you would agree. You want to be at the Urban Embodiment Mobile Bartender Battle.
Is everyone making the same drink and you're judging it, or does everyone come up with their own creations and cocktails that they're going to be presenting?
That's the key. They're going to make their specialty drinks.
Okay.
They're going to make their specialty drinks and try to get the judges to sway to their side.
And do you have actual judges, or is everyone that's attending a judge?
Well, yeah, we're going to give slips to the patrons and let them decide.
Okay. How many bartenders are you expecting for this event?
Roughly, I say anywhere between 10 to 15.
Okay. So if I'm only as a fan or as someone who's going there to drink, I'm only going to be able to try 6 or 7.
No. We'll give out 5 free samples.
Okay.
But from there, you can purchase more drinks. Let's say you like Rock the Bars drinks. And you know what? I'm going to try Rock the Bars drinks all night. You can do that. Or if you can try Nick's drinks all night, La La Libations, or any other mobile bartender, you can do that. So you can try. After you get your 5 free samples, you can buy all night, enjoy them. And I'm going to tell you, I'm putting them on the spot right now. I want you guys to be there live.
Oh.
It's on a Friday. What do you guys do on a Friday?
I'd have to look, but if it's in November, we're already booked. I know that.
Even on Fridays?
Every Friday.
Every
Friday. We with Better on Draft, we're actually booking through December, and we already have January booked, too. Because we're going to be participating in Dry January, which we are going to be sober. And we're going to be bringing in... Casamara, which is a local soda company. We're going to be bringing in Reputation, which is a coffee and kombucha company. We're hopefully going to be at M Cantina.
Okay.
That's right by you.
Yes.
Yep. Which they make a lot of mocktails over there. So alcohol free cocktails.
Amazing spot.
So the goal is to kind of promote the Dry January. Give yourself a little body reset.
Right.
You know, take a month off of alcohol. You don't need it.
I wasn't even familiar with that, but I'm going to do that.
It's the month you supposedly go to the gym anyway, so February you just quit.
What do you mean? This is my dry period now. When these meds are over, it's
you're drinking after that?
Yes.
there's a lot of people that participate in Dry January or Sober October, because obviously the enunciation is pretty easy off the tongue for sure.
It's harvest time and cider meal time. This is Sober October. October is like a bad time to be sober, in my opinion.
It's funny she said that. I'm actually headed up to Lansing tomorrow. Then we're going to an apple orchard, and they have...
Going to Phillips?
I don't know the name of her sister told us about it, but they have a wine bar with apple cider-based wine and spirits at the bar. My dry is not starting till January.
Well, you've got St. John's, which is up there, which they do hard cider. You have Phillips, which does cider as well, hard cider.
Yep.
So there's a few hard cideries up there just north of Lansing that you're able to go. You guys should check out, though, I believe it's in August every year, Cider Days, which is over at Blake's in Armada, I believe is the name of the city. They actually bring in a lot of cideries. It's that company right there. They bring in a lot of cideries for a festival, so it's a cider festival. I would say you guys should go to the Seltzer Festival in Royal Oak in December, but that's going to be my jam, not you guys.
You enjoy that.
Seltzer water.
What are you looking for, like, as a judge for these mobile bartenders? Like, what is your key points, like, you know, the things you want to see from these bartenders?
Out taste, for sure. Their personality and, like he said, their presentation, pretty much. I think those are the three key things in any bartender that would make someone's experience.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. We want energy. You know, don't get it twisted. Me personally, don't laugh. You're like, man, he's 6'5", 285 pounds. Yeah, I am. I'm a giant. But I like a good fruity drink. I'm not going to lie to you. But
what's wrong with that?
With that being said, what? Did you say pause?
Yes.
That's my gimmick.
Okay.
Don't steal my gimmick.
Rewind.
That's my gimmick.
Okay, I'll do rewind.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
But anyway, but like she said, presentation is so important to me. I need to like you. I need to feel comfortable with you. I've been to too many bars, and I guess you guys could agree with this, and over the years, and the bartender has a bad attitude. You know, you try to get them to come over, and I understand they're busy, but they don't even want to look at you, acknowledge you. I don't like that. Me personally, I want you to, I want to feel that I know you. Let's take it back to the show Cheers, where everybody knows your name. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yep.
For me, I always give a lot of bartenders and servers a pass. A lot of the times, like, you can tell when someone is just a mean person versus when someone is having a bad day. And one thing that I always talk about being in the industry is that when someone, if you're having a bad day at work, like you're an office job or you're on a line or something like that, and you have a bad day, you can be in a bad mood, still get paid the same amount, and your job is perfectly fine. But as a server or in the service industry, and you're having just a rough day, maybe something happened in your relationship or you're struggling for money, you know, there's a million reasons why you could have a bad day. You have to try to put on a happy face because, you know, people, a lot of people put their tips into what and how you're acting. And that's just one thing for me. Like, no matter what, if a server, you can tell, again, if a bartender is a bad person or just a bad day.
I agree to a degree. But just like I said, I did trivia. I was also a bouncer in my earlier years. And one thing my manager at Fifth Avenue told me when I first took the job, he said, first of all, no, it's not you. Whatever they trip out about, whatever, it's not you. But he also said, whatever happens in your personal life, don't let people know about that when you do what you do. As a trivia host, trust me, I had bad days. I've been married and divorced, and I still had to host. You know what I'm talking about?
Man, that sounds really familiar.
Yeah. So I get what you're saying, but the customer should not know that you're having a bad day.
Nope.
That's just my opinion.
I definitely wear my emotions on my face, on my body. Like, the way I act, you can tell when something's off. I can't hide it. It's impossible. Like, anyone that knows me, just because I'm I talk a lot, I speak a lot, I talk to people, I interact with people, mm-hmm. they could tell when something's up.
Even when you host trivia?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And when...
You too?
Oh, I can easily attest to that this past week. This week has been, for me, probably one of the toughest weeks to host because a year ago on Monday, I lost my mom.
Oh, and sorry to hear that.
Monday, on the anniversary, I was hosting trivia. And I would say that was probably one of the toughest shows to host. But I still, it's even with... You know, you have, you know, being in that state, and I guess maybe you can think of this the same way as a bartender, is that being a bartender and being behind that bar and serving people drinks and seeing people that are having a good time and enjoying themselves, that you kind of feed off of that.
I agree.
And I agree. It's the same thing with my teams, because I treat my teams, to me, are like family.
I agree.
And they know everything that I've gone through. I know everything they've gone through. And we have that connection back and forth. And it, I guess what you're saying about a bartender is that that's what you want, is that you want to be able to have that connection with the bartender, whether they're having a bad day or not. There has to be something there, like even just that little ounce of, you know, the heart of gold that's sitting behind the brick wall, that you're going to have, you know, those moments where, you know, you can be – I don't know. You can just be, and you can get your drinks and have a good damn night.
I think someone broke the seal.
Yeah. Going to have to give him a catheter next time.
That's all right.
As we continue, like, what is your, like, what kind of, what's your go-to main cocktail? Like, is it Old Fashioned, Tom Collins?
I would have to say Sex on the Beach.
Sex on the Beach? That's an answer.
Everybody knows what a Sex on the Beach is, and it's sweet, and it slowly gets me there. So that's my go-to, Sex on the Beach.
What about you, Rob?
See, I can't, and that's the thing, is that I can't get a Godfather everywhere I go because I get tired of explaining it every damn time.
Well, that means it's not a common drink.
Yeah, it's not a common drink. Yeah. So for me... It kind of goes right back to my childhood days. I mean, I can't turn down a fuzzy navel. Those things are, when made right, those things are amazing. And I'll drink those all day.
So I'm actually looking at the IBA official cocktails. And the Godfather is actually a contemporary classic. Like, it's something that you should know how to make.
Like a Rob Roy?
Actually, Rob Roy is not on this list.
Ooh.
Have you gentlemen ever bartended?
No.
No.
Never. Neither one of
no. That,
no. I never worked in the restaurant industry.
That is not my gig. So, I can't do that.
I know your friends know you do the podcast. I know you enjoy a good drink. when they come to your home, the guys that make the drinks?
Well, I always just have beer, so.
Oh, that's it? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much, I've got a cold storage room that has all the beer, all the liquor. Y'all just pick what you want, but if you're going into my rare selection, you let me know what you got in your hand before you open that thing.
Oh, I'm glad you touched on a rare selection. I actually talked to somebody the other day. I don't know if it was Keisha or somebody else. Like, my girlfriend has a wine and spirits collection in her house, mm-hmm. but she doesn't drink that much. She goes to whiskey tastings at Michigan State. They do them once a month, and I've been a couple times. With that being said, she was like, you could make a great wine or a spirit bar at your home, but I drink too much. So somebody that has mm-hmm. drinks, how do you not drink the stuff, man?
Well, the one thing with me is that I'm the only drinker in the house. So there's none that's being shared unless there's actually parties going on.
I see.
And when we do have the parties, my thing about anything that is rare or something that I've only have one bottle of, I honestly don't care if you open it. I just want to know so that your ass will share it with me so that I can enjoy it too.
Ooh.
Because, I mean, if it's something like this bottle we're going to open a little later, I mean, this comes from a brewery in Florida. They don't distribute here in Florida, yeah. and it's not easy to get these in here. So when I get a hold of these, it's like, you know what? Yeah, we can open it, but I don't want you to just open it and then you just drink the whole thing. It's like, oh, man, that thing was good. And I was like, bro, share.
I'm glad you brought that up. Let me ask another question. At Kroger, about a month ago, Isaiah Thomas was here. I forget, about an hour away or whatever.
He didn't touch any girls, did he?
What? You talking about the New York Knicks gimmick? Don't talk about that. Isaiah's my favorite player of all time. But anyway.
I'm a Joe D guy.
Oh, Lord. Number 11, Captain Zeke. But anyway, so Zeke has a new spirit called Sherlin.
Are you yes. 1730s? I did hear about that.
Well, anyway, he was there to promote his spirits.
Okay.
Now, his spirits, his Moscatos, his different drinks were $100 and up. I had a problem with it because there wasn't a wine tasting at all. They just wanted you to buy a $100, $150 bottle without even tasting it. My question to both of you guys is, if just because it's Isaiah Thomas or whoever you like, would you buy a bottle of wine or whatever spirit for $150? Because I know some spirits can go way up there without ever tasting it.
No.
You wouldn't either?
No. No. That's pretty much like because Sam Adams, they just released a beer that they release every 2 years called Utopias.
Okay.
That beer, I don't know exactly how much is in the container. Is it like a 500 mil or a 750 mil? But anyway.
I don't know. It's not a standard.
Yeah, it's glassware. Not a standard. But it's basically they're this barrel-aged beer that they sell for, I believe it was at Holiday Market in Royal Oak today, and it was selling for $239.
Wow.
This stuff is strong as hell because you don't really run into a beer that's 28% and is banned in 15 states because of the ABV is so high. But before I left, my wife asked me if I've ever had any of this. And I said, I don't have friends that bankroll that kind of money right. to grab that beer because I'm not buying that. If somebody wants to go out there and buy it and then say, hey, you want a sip of this? Sure. But no, and they don't make enough of it where they're actually going to do any type of samples. And maybe that's the same case with Isaiah Thomas' stuff, is that there's not enough that's out there right now to be able to do samples to do it. And with the Sam Adams stuff, they never make enough to even do that. It's just basically you need to buy this beer off of, hey, it's Sam Adams, and hey, we make this crazy-ass
right.
beer,
right.
and give us $240.
Now, with that being said, like I said, I go to the whiskey tastings at Michigan State at Kellogg Center. With my girlfriend from time to time, and they have some very expensive bottles of whiskey. What is the most expensive drink you've ever had?
Probably Hibiki 17 year.
Ooh, that stuff is good.
That stuff is very good, Ooh. And I only know one place that still has it, and that is Staying With Me.
You ain't gonna tell us, man.
Hell no.
You got a whole podcast of people want to listen, man.
Yeah, you mean, and there's only one bottle left at this one place, and it's a bar. It ain't a store, or I would have bought it if it was a store.
You mean to tell me you wouldn't find it at Zatuna Liquor?
I would not find it at Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester.
I was going back at B-Wink to get it.
You know, if you go to Zatuna Liquor at Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road, go check out Jack, say hi. And, yeah, they got a pretty good selection. Now, so for me, when you talk about Isaiah Thomas and that expensive wine, like, if I can get someone that I trust to give me a good yes or thumbs up, thumbs down, then I'll go for it. Even if it's not my style or my brand or anything like that, a lot of it would be, you know, for beer at least, I will trust the brewer more than I trust, you know, a review. So if I've had your other beers, I know what kind of beer you're brewing, what kind of style, the way you brew your beer. That way I'll know if I'm going to like this beer or if I'm not, if I'm going to spend the money or if I'm not. And that's why a lot of people like going to breweries, because you can get flights, you can get tasters, yes. You can get a little bit of everything. Same with a lot of distilleries. You can get flights or tasters. Right. If you go to a lot of different restaurants, like you can go to Secreto. Secreto's got flights of vodka, flights of whiskey, flights of... places. I went to one. I was at a Barrio in Seattle, and they have, I believe it was like 200 different mezcals there.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was 200 different mezcals.
Well, so there's a lot, like with tequila, there's like four different variations of every tequila. Because there's like the white tequila, the agave, like there's so many different things. I don't know much about tequila, obviously. Yeah. But I took a photo, and I actually had to take three separate photos of the bar for how many bottles they had.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they did have two beers on draft, too. So, you know, it was pretty much what they sell is tequila.
Right.
I'm not a big tequila drinker, though. Do you do tequila, Rob?
You know, I pretty much, I think growing up, my version of tequila was regular flavored Listerine. And then after growing up off of that and actually tasting tequila, I was like, this just tastes like Listerine. What is this?
What?
This is what, maybe it was just like the cheap brand.
So
like
you
the,
can't even do margaritas, man?
Oh, I could do margaritas. It's just, I don't.
Yeah, but that's
tequila's
not.
It's just there.
When a drink has so much extra stuff, that ain't that liquor anymore.
Good point. In my
humble opinion. Like, if you're doing almost like a tequila sunrise, and you have so much orange juice in there that it's orange juice with faint tequila.
Right.
I mean, unless you make it really strong. But, again, that means it's not a good drink.
Right.
And that's something, obviously, as a mobile bartender, when you have people showing up, hopefully you don't have too many people. Because there's a lot of my friends, the stronger, the better. And that's just that's got to be wrong. Like, you got to.
Who would like the stronger, the better, though, Keith?
I feel like he's calling you out there.
Not me.
I think he's trying to say you.
Oh, we're going to tell some stories before we get off the podcast. Trust. Go hard, Keith. Go hard.
No, for me, like, I can't. One thing, too, is that, like, I also have to tell my friends, you know, pour the drinks harder. First of all, I know all the things that bartenders will do to make you think your drink is stronger by lacing, the lip of the glass with the liquor. So it makes it taste a little stronger. One of the big things I actually saw a bartender get in trouble is that they weren't charging for the drinks, but they cut someone off and continued to fake serve them. They were just drinking like rum and Cokes, but they were so drunk they couldn't tell they were just drinking Cokes.
Wow.
So the customer didn't get charged for them.
Okay.
Nope. So if the customer ordered eight and only had four and only got charged for four. So the bartender was just giving him Coca-Cola, and he caused, like, this huge fit, and the person almost got fired. I'm like, when you have to deal with over-serving, and especially at events like the Brewers Guild Festivals where people are coming in, when you go to a Brewers Guild Festival, which is next week, we're going to be there pouring for Roque and Ellison on the first night, and then for Roque on Saturday. You can easily, without noticing, overserve yourself because some of these beers. Now, mind you, this light cider right here is, I believe, 5% ABV. Some of the beers that you're going to be going and getting at these festivals are 15, 16, 17%.
Yep.
Wow.
And
are you serious?
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, don't even just look at it like, oh, it's only 3 ounces. I mean, it's 3 ounces of one beer of basically 1,000 beers that are going to be there. And with a ticket, you're guaranteed to have 15 pours. Well, maybe 10. I guess it depends if there's any two token beers that require that.
Y'all drinking the Four Locos of beers or something.
Oh, Rob loves those Four Locos.
The real Four Locos, not the one that came back. The real Four Locos.
Do not know.
That was when I used to go to frat parties over at Wayne State. And I would take two Four Loco cans and I would get a nice little buzz on like $4.
You would be together for one Four Loco back in the day. They done changed it because of,
The caffeine intake. So we're going to take a quick break, though. Once again, this is Brother Son. We'll be right back. Better on Draft Podcast. We are back. Episode 197, Better on Draft Podcast. Still in studio, Urban Embodiment. You can actually find them on Instagram at Urban Embodiment. It is on the video right under Deshaun right now. If you want to just go like this. Other hand.
Okay, what am I pointing at?
You're pointing at the video.
The cry line. Follow us. And we're on Facebook as well, Urban Embodiment. And you can email us at urbanembodiment313@gmail.com.
You're going to have to get a different email if you're going to branch out of Detroit.
No, it's funny you said that. When we get our events in Lansing, they're like, the Lansing people want you to say 517. Listen, don't worry about all that. I'm Whip Dog. This is Lakeisha. Just love us.
Don't worry about the email.
A wise man once said, so everybody from the 313, put your motherfucking hands up and follow me. Yeah, and that was B-Rabbit.
That was B-Rabbit. Shout out to B-Rabbit.
If y'all don't know B-Rabbit, you need to know who B-Rabbit is. Shout out to 8 Mile.
Yeah. All right.
What'd you pour us, Rob?
So I poured, because basically we had a Tavor Tuesday vote that went down as to which bottle that I had received from Tavor.
You gotta smell it, at least.
Going to pour today. So what we have open right now is from Cycle Brewing out of Florida.
St. Petersburg, to be precise, from their Brugerhythm series. It is the Thursday edition, which is a maple barrel-aged imperial stout with blueberries.
Yeah, I definitely got the maple in the nose. Yes. I got the blueberries in the nose, and I got the bourbon in the nose.
Yes.
So this, a little bit of everything.
This is definitely one of those bottles where you can get those from Tavour. It's spelled T-A-V-O-U-R. They are a beer mail subscription service that you can have subscriptions.
What's
you can
the
order,
ABV clocked in on that?
You can order beers. The ABV on this is at, oh, let's see.
I was going to say, I'm getting all maple and bourbon, and I like it.
I agree.
I do not see the ABV on this.
All right, I can look it up real quick for you.
It's mysterious. Mystery ABV.
But I was just saying, you can order beer from Tavour. You can use the app that you can get from iTunes or Android. Buy some beers.
I like
and
the
any,
bottle.
It any
like
beer the... that you order can be shipped to you at a low flat rate of $14.90. Promo code is still out there. Promo code Robear, R-O-B-E-A-R, which will get you a $10 credit for the first $25 that you spend on Tavour.
I like the bottle. It looks like the periodic table. Did y'all catch that?
Yep. This clocks in at 11% too, by the way.
Can we drink it yet? Or are we supposed
you
to
can drink it. Yeah. Drink it. Let's talk about what we think about it.
Enjoy it.
Woo.
Sip, sniff, swivel.
Yeah, this is clocked in at 11%. So
pinky up.
That's
it has amazing legs.
That is a very smooth.
That is a spirit thing, Keisha. Legs.
Yeah, I'm definitely digging this. So this is out of Florida. We don't get it up here, do we?
No. The only way I could get it was through Tavour or the usual beer traders on Facebook and other beer hunters that are out there. That with them, it definitely. I mean, I've traded for cycle beers before, and usually it can be something like $25 to $30 a bottle plus shipping. And that's what I really loved about Tavour was being able to actually get it from them for $17.99 and order a bunch of other beers and get them all shipped for less than $15.
So before I forget, because I keep forgetting, we're going to give away a $20 gift card to a brewery of your choice to someone random in the chat room. Elise Johnson, congratulations. $20 gift card to a brewery of your choice. Please reach out to us at betterondraft@gmail.com, and we will secure that gift card for you.
Like commenter of the night.
we had last week's giveaway. One, I forgot to reach out to the guy. My bad. But the company I tried to call for the gift card wouldn't let me buy a gift card over the phone.
Oh,
I had to come in. So thankfully, the second place he chose. I mean, second place is now the new winner. That's Liberty Street. So I talked to Joe, and Joe's going to let me buy one over the phone.
Still loving your seltzers because they actually have flavor.
Well, you know who makes good seltzers is Recolt for sure. I know I talked about it last week. So if you're liking that mead, what they're doing is that they're actually seltzering the mead and making a seltzer out of their mead that they have. So it's a little bit more watered down. It almost tastes like a cocktail, like a mead cocktail.
Do you like it?
I love it. Yeah. It doesn't have a faint taste like your Bonnevieve or Truly or White Claw. It actually tastes like just a less sweet version of their mead because their mead was very sweet.
Yeah.
And that's over in Grosse Pointe Park.
Yep. Shout out to RJ. I actually ran into RJ. Harry and I, we ran into her just as we were leaving Jimmy John's Beer Fest. And I think from just a little conversation that RJ and Harry had, that Harry and the guys may actually have them on for Brews Brothers at some point.
So
and he's very interested in trying their meads.
So it's obvious you guys don't have a problem saluting great spirits and vodkas, but you also don't have a problem saying, nah, that's not for me. Is that true?
I say things are not for me all the time.
But
that peanut butter and jelly beer.
You're not worried about the backlash for people not liking it.
But point is that we can't sit here and just like with every brewery or meadery that we've had on the show and just sit here and say, "Oh, your stuff is amazing. Your stuff is amazing." Because they know themselves that everything that they make isn't for everyone.
But I'm trying to get money, man, as sponsors, baby.
We have.
I've had the head brewer of Old Nation in here, Travis Fritz. He brought one of his beers called Double Dwarf, and I told him it was one of the worst beers I've ever had. And it's not for the fact that I think it's a bad beer or I think he did a bad job. We both know that beer just wasn't for me. And that's a lot of things. Like, when you're drinking beer, there's so many different styles and variations. Like, under the BJCP, I think there's like 56 or 57 different beer styles. And then there's a lot of subcategories in those beer styles. So you're talking over 200 different beer styles. I'm not going to like every single one. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try it. And if I like it, great. And if I don't, it's no big deal. Everyone that listens to the show knows I do not like IPAs. You could put 100 IPAs in front of me, and I'm going to dislike 99 of them.
I agree. I don't like IPAs at all.
Brewer comes in and gives me an IPA, I'm going to try it. And you might get a bitter taste mouth out of, you know, face out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of it. Like, I'm not going to tell you, like, I'm going to tell you if I don't like your product, but I'm not going to tell you your product sucks.
Right.
And I think that's two different things. Like, that peanut butter and jelly beer, I'm not going to say it sucks. I'm just going to say it's not for me because it just isn't for me.
And that's what kind of goes into – is because one of the other things that we tend to talk about is their ratings that they get on Untappd, some of the beer rating or beer advocate and things like that, where people will just simply go on there and they'll rate something one star. Oh, my God, this sucked. It wasn't for me. And, you know, a lot of them don't really care for those ratings, but they kind of just kind of look at it and say, well, okay, whatever. But – they're not getting any substance out of it to basically say, okay, you said it sucked, or somebody drinks an IPA, it's like, oh my God, this stuff is this is nasty. This is why I drink stouts. Well, then why did you rate an IPA at one star when you don't like IPAs and you like stouts? I mean, what they want and what we want to also give is to give, you know, a truthful opinion on what their products are for us. I mean, we could just as well sit here all day and tell everybody who listens, you know, all 12 of them, that
Stop it.
My God, this is the greatest beer. This is the greatest mead. You guys have to try this stuff. And, you know, even if we give something negative, they may still go out and try it because we're simply saying it's not for me.
And it also takes into effect that, like, if I get some type of brown ale and I say I don't like the brown ale, a lot of people are going to look at that and be like, wow, that's pretty huge because I'm a huge brown ale fan.
Right.
So if I'm not a fan of it, that means that something is up with it. Maybe it's infected. Maybe it's too sweet. Maybe it's American style versus an English style. So if Rob talks about any type of, you know, darker beer, a porter, a stout, you know, people are going to go for it. Like a Kolsch.
Matt last week.
If
when we were talking, when there was the cucumber Kolsch.
Yeah. And like Matt loves crisp lagers and pilsners and Kolsches, but if he tells you something's not good, you know, a lot of people are going to be like, ooh, maybe I should not have that.
Ooh, yeah.
But in the same sense, we want you to try these beers. We want you to experience it just as we do. We're going to tell you our experience, but our experience is not your experience.
Yeah.
How did that feel to you guys when you first realized people move because of what you like and dislike?
I don't know. For me, it doesn't feel like that they move. It just feels like, you know, they hear my opinion and they may say, well,
hold on, let's try this. Simon says, bring me brown ales.
Y'all heard that. Shout out to everybody listening to the show right now. He want them up here next week.
In 2 weeks. We are actually going to be doing live shows at Eastern Market Brewing Company.
Shout out.
Thursday and Friday, the beer festival. So we're going to be doing it up until the beer fest, which opens at 4 o'clock on Friday. And then we're going to start drinking some beers and pouring some beers.
Yeah. I'll be walking around, getting maybe some crowd reactions to things and just checking out the beer fest like we normally do.
Yep.
So are you guys taking applications? Because I want to be part of the team, man.
This team is rolling a little deep right now.
See how they pause. Do. See how they do me? Pause. We done said pause like 14 times on this podcast.
I don't even know what pause means.
We'll tell you later.
After the show.
Yeah.
Now I feel really left out.
We love you.
It's all right, man. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Well, we actually just hosted our own beer fest this past weekend. We had 39 breweries, I believe, there.
Yeah.
39 breweries. There was a cornhole tournament, a disc golf tournament. We gave away $50 gift cards to Zatuna Liquor, a Michigan beer box.
They got me to drive up north.
Up north.
Yeah.
Past 59.
Past M59. I was actually past M59.
I'm glad you said that. Because when you go, hey, listen, I don't know if I should say it, but I'm saying it anyway. When you're a brother and you go past 59, like, It's getting pretty serious.
I mean, I had to change my boundary because for me it used to be 14 mile. And I said, you know
14?
What?
You stopped at 14?
I stopped. There's nothing. For me, there was nothing after that.
You used to go to the butterfly, didn't you?
There's a lot to
see. 14 mile
of butterfly.
You remember that? A 14 mile of Atlanta arcade? Yes. Caddyshack, also the name of it.
Oh my God. What was the actual name of it?
I think it was called the Caddyshack, but people called it the butterfly.
I remember the butterfly. I remember it being smoke filled. Like
yes.
Just pure smoke. I remember because that was that's why I would go is I would play pool.
Van Dyke?
Van Dyke between it's where Menards is now.
It was an arcade there.
My dad used to take me there.
Golf carts?
Yes.
Golf golf.
I forgot what that place
pool
was.
Pool tables?
Yeah. Okay.
And listen, arcade. I took a lot of dates back then. Cause pool was like a dollar.
Right.
I would let them win, make them feel like they did something. Yeah. Mama, please turn this thing off. Please. Please.
I just need to start. Like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut part of the videos of everything you say with Keisha's reactions.
My God.
I used to go. So either Limelight, which was across, it's still across the street.
Limelight, you know about that.
Or the Butterfly and Luna. Those are three bars I used to go to all the time.
And Royal Oak?
Yep.
Free pizza.
Yes, Luna, free pizza.
Wait, when there was, I used to go for free drinks, not free pizza.
Wednesday night, before it closed, Wednesday night, they used to do free drinks between like 9 to 11. You know what I'm saying?
They would do free drinks from 9 to 10, and then $2 you call, it's 10 to 11.
Yes.
I've been there a few times.
I used to be there for there, and I quit just so I could drink.
Oh, I'm sure we've probably then ran into each other coming in right at 9 o'clock.
I can believe it.
My I know you do watch wrestling. This was when WWE CW was live on Wednesdays.
Yes.
So we would watch that and then go over to Luna and start drinking.
Oh my goodness.
But I used to because I used to be big into pool when I was younger. And so I would run tables over at Luna, Limelight, and Butterfly and just play all night. Oh yeah. Could. I don't know about anymore. What's up?
Like I said earlier, what I would purposely do, I would take a chick out, I would talk cash trash, but I would let her win to make her think she did something. By the end of the night, most women are like, oh my God, I beat you, ha ha ha. I'm like, yeah, baby, I beat you, you beat me. Then I would, like, take care
of your mother's listening.
Pause.
Right.
Rewind.
Right. Stop bringing up my mama, man.
Well, you should.
Listen,
have
I'm just trying to help you here.
Yeah.
All right. You're not old enough. You're not too old to get an ass whooping.
You ain't lying. You ain't lying. Trust me. Me and my mama eat every other Sunday at Mongolian buffet, a Chinese buffet.
Going to be an interesting table
she's
conversation
talk about
next
it.
Time.
I mean, you lucky. This after all of this, this coming Sunday ain't first Sunday.
Say, oh my God. Take over the mic. Wait, take over the mic. I can't do it anymore.
We're just trying to save you from yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, guys. Exactly. Let's back to the topics. Just stay off.
Well, we're talking about the beer festival coming up this weekend. We're going to be doing shows. We've already got a lot of brewers lined up for Friday, including the president of the Brewers Guild, Scott Newman Bale from Shorts Brewing, who's going to be on the show. But you know who's really going to be at the festival too? North Center Brewing.
Oh, they are
from Northville, Michigan, on North Center Road, just south of 8 Mile. Go check them out over in Northville. They trick magic with some of their beers. I am so excited to get a chance to taste some more of them. They've been a sponsor for us for 190 episodes or so. So we appreciate it each and every week.
Definitely.
So go support them. Now, we're talking bar games. We're talking. What about shuffleboard? Like table shuffle?
Okay. See, y'all going to keep making me go to my past. How old are you guys again?
I'm only 33.
How old are you?
I'm
43.
Do you remember Wheels In?
Wheels In and Troy?
Wheels In.
Or no, Wheels In the in Canada.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was I was 8 years old, the very first time I ever seen shuffleboard. I've been a fan of it ever since. So you brought up shuffleboard. Yes, I'm down. Let me know where it's at. I'm going to be there.
So Wheels In closed in 2011.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or 2010, excuse me.
Hey, you ain't no joke with that. Man, them Twitter fingers, man. He's fast on that internet, man. Gosh.
Well, so before we used to go to Frankenmuth for New Year's, we used to go to Wheels In. So that's how I had my knowledge of Wheels In and going to the arcades. I remember playing like Mortal Kombat 2 there.
Yep.
And we would – I mean, that was back when all you needed was a birth certificate to get across the border.
Yep.
And
so since we go back, you guys remember Bob-lo?
Bob-lo?
Yeah.
Bob-lo. Of course I remember Bob-lo.
I was too young for Bob-lo.
Okay.
I did learn, though, my, I think it was my grandfather, was one of the captains for the boat that burned down that last year, I believe it was.
Seriously?
Yeah. Wow. So I showed it to my, because my, you know, you always talk about the Bablo boats and, you know, being able to go to Canada so easy from Bablo Island. I gotta just go to the other ferry.
Right.
Yeah, so I messaged my parents, and I'm like, you know, oh, did you see this? The Bablo boat, the one of the last ones is burning down. And my dad's like, yeah, your grandfather used to captain it.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, that's an interesting. It's a family member, but I never got to meet my grandfather on my dad's side, so I don't know if it was him or if it was another family member. So that's why I'm spacing a little bit, and I'm sure my mother, if she's still awake, will correct me in the chat.
I was like, she was in there earlier.
She was in there earlier.
Yeah.
So Urban Embodiment, you guys are online. You're doing a bunch of other things. So do you have an ugly sweater of choice? Like, is it just like an ugly Christmas sweater that you see in the movies, or do you have like a specialty from Etsy?
Just whatever people want to wear. I mean, Walmart usually has a nice selection. Well, Kmart.
Well, I'm talking about you.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I'm bringing up Kmart. Oh no. They're actually closing on 10 in DeQuinder.
I used to work inside the one at 12 in DeQuinder or 12 in John R.
They did not have subs.
There was the Flagstar Bank, which is where I worked, and the Olin Mills, which is where I worked.
Okay.
So I never worked for Kmart, but I worked for two stores in Kmart.
Okay. I worked at Kmart like during the holiday season about 2013 on 12 in John R. And it's going to be BJ's there now. So.
Pause.
Oh, jeez.
It's going to be what?
BJ's.
BJ's,
the wholesale club.
I know.
The warehouse or the brew house?
There is a BJ's brew house here now.
Yeah.
I know about
that. And a CJ's.
Yeah, and a CJ's.
Yeah, but I usually, when I go for my Christmas sweater, I try to get what everyone else doesn't have.
Facts.
So I try to get something that's unique.
So I've got, do you have any specialty Christmas sweaters?
Of course. I got my ugly Pittsburgh Steelers Christmas sweater.
You got the Steelers one?
Damn right.
Last year, she spoke on earlier, our bowling party we had the first year we had Urban Embodiment, I did a onesie. So I purposely wanted to be a giant 6'5", 285-pound black man in an ugly Christmas sweater onesie. Last year, because we were doing an event, which was a party, I just wore a blazer that was Christmas inspired.
Yeah, look at that.
So I have two ugly sweaters. One's actually a t-shirt because I thought it was a sweater, but it was in the form of a sweater because they're a specialty. So I have Drake's Hotline Bling as an ugly sweater.
Oh, that's right.
Nice.
Him doing the little like bent over dancing part.
Oh, yes.
And then I also have one from the Avengers, which is Thor, and it says half of you are on my naughty list. So if you guys are obviously Marvel fans, he snapped and half the universe disappeared. Yeah, so half of you are on my naughty list.
Nice.
So those are the two ugly sweaters that I have. I love that Drake one, though. That's a great.
Oh, that Drake one is amazing.
I will say this before we go any further.
Uh-oh.
You guys are always, you guys have carte blanche. What does that mean?
Blank check.
Oh, so
white check.
That. Okay, then I don't know what it means. But you guys can come to any of our events, and we want you there free. Just walk in. We'll take care of you, okay?
That's what carte blanche means.
I was about to say it.
I didn't say you were wrong. I was waiting
Somebody
for you to say.
Somebody said a sweater. What did you say?
Oh.
Are you saying cashmere or cardigan?
Oh, check or something. But anyway, real talk, because you guys have ugly Christmas sweaters. We're doing an ugly Christmas sweater party here.
Mm-hmm.
December
6th.
So if you guys want to come, we would love to have you there. And let all your listeners come check us out at that event. Where is it at?
At 14710 Puritan, Detroit.
At the 710 Hall.
Yes.
You see how we do that? Like we this is a team, man. We've been doing this 10 years in the game. Even though we only been Urban Embodiment for 2 years, this is 10 years in the game.
So speaking of that, with being in there for 2 years, and I mean it's been 2 years recently, right? It's been like about a week ago that you guys had your 2 year anniversary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, whoa, you study. I like that. You researched when we came in here.
It's my job. So obviously with 2 years, what have you learned to do differently, and what are your plans for the future?
Now, as far as the plans for the future, that's a good question. hopefully we'll be able to expand into different markets. But usually we just try to do what other people aren't doing. And I mean, it's like, you know, it's kind of hard to explain our creativity. You know what I mean? Because we just, it's just there. You know what I'm saying? Naturally. Absolutely. It's just something that we're born with. We get an idea. We put it out there on social media. If we get enough interest in it, then we'll just implement it. So we try to do things other people aren't doing or other entities aren't doing. Or we'll do what they're doing and put our own spin on it, make it more interesting.
I definitely agree with that. Both me and her, we're both I think she could agree with this. We're out of the box, if you will. We like to try different things, like the mobile bartender battle, whatever it is. Ideas come up over our heads, and we said, let's try it. If it doesn't work out, cool. But if it does, it's been blessed. You know what I mean? So, like she just said, we try all types of things, and it's been an amazing success for it to be 2 years.
Yeah.
Jokes aside, and I know we've been having fun being silly, but it's been great. I mean, it started with one event. We would have never thought it would have been what it is right now. Mm-hmm. We've been blessed to be connected with Fox 2 News. We've been on there. We're probably their go-to every time they have a Valentine's or a Sweetie's Day event.
I'm saying a dating segment.
Right. Yeah. Anything like that to bring us in.
Yeah.
Fox 2, the radio stations, podcasts. Everybody reach out to us. Different entities, groups, brands. We've been really blessed, man. Mm-hmm. And that's no joke. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we know that we're needed. And I'm going to just leave it at this. Our tagline is, we are social media, but our line is bringing people together through social activities. And we feel like we've did what we were supposed to do. But there's so much more we can do. We're going to keep pushing. 2020, trust me, you want to watch out for urban embodiment, man.
All right. Now, are there any ideas, because you said that there, you know, any ideas that don't work, cool. Let me have there been any ideas that you guys have kind of taken from the planning phase to actually do any idea and that idea didn't work?
Yeah, we may have had one or two things that didn't really necessarily work out for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody has, you know, failures and successes. But, you know, from the failures or not, I'm not going to say failures.
Right.
Not as successful.
Practices.
Right. There you go. Rehearsals.
Rehearsals.
As you may. Understudies.
Right.
As you may. We just, you know, we learn from it. And we always invite our patrons to, you know, give us feedback. You know, how did you feel about this experience? You know, what are some things we could do? Is there anything we should change? You know, and things like that. But for the most part, we haven't gotten too many complaints.
And I want to piggyback off of what she just said. Like she just said, we've been blessed. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, and granted, everything has not been as over the top and great as some of the other things. But we've been pretty blessed that nothing was terrible, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm a big fan of marketing and social media. Cause like I said, that's our tagline. And if you make people, if you believe, they will believe. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I we've learned that, and that's the true thing. If I sit here right now and say, you know what, we're going to have a corn husking tournament 3 months from now, I guarantee you, because I believe in it, I can make it happen. I can get you 5 vendors that will pay to be a part of that. And shout out to all our vendors. I mean, they believe in us. The one thing that we always had so much, and people believe in us so much, man. It's been crazy to where we don't even understand it. Mm-hmm. Vendors, they come back. And what did the other vendor say the other day?
She does good jobs at our events.
Every event we have.
Like, I want to be at everything.
So when we have people that believe in us and enjoy what we do, they will push us. They will wave the flag even more than we do. Yep. So it's not the one thing I want to tell people all the time, there's nothing in this world that is impossible if you believe. I stand on that. I stand on that as WHIP. I stand on that as urban embodiment. There is nothing in the world that you can't do, man. Anything. If it's in your mind, trust me. And we're going to talk about it another day. Urban embodiment started with me and her at Applebee's talking one day.
Was it the dollar Long Island night or the dollar?
Basically, it really was.
Yeah, we didn't get our dollar special this month either.
We got to go. Next week is our meeting.
September.
But anyway, but fact is, it started from us a conversation 2 years ago. and now we're growing to where we got to get people to help us out because it's growing so much.
Right.
I mean, I can't explain it, but that it is what it is. And I want to say this to anybody that's listening. We love you to death, whether it be Singles Day in Detroit, SDID, people that came to our events. Thank you for coming out and supporting us because I'm telling you, just to show you real quick, and I'm going to go, I know we only got 3 minutes left. We were talking about an ugly Christmas sweater party. We got a pajama jam coming up. They were talking about it today, and we just put it out there. They can't wait.
I love the kid and play graphic, by the way.
Yeah, you saw that too. Man, this guy is good, man. That's, if you interview somebody, always do research, man. But with that being said, like I said, I want to tell anybody listening out, there's nothing that's impossible. Both of us can agree that we both were kind of nerdy growing up. Mm-hmm. But coming to this world right now, and one day, follow us, we'll tell more of our story. Anything is possible, man.
So, two things before we go to the final shot. One, your daughter basically slammed us in the chat room.
What?
Saying, I'm the only one who's watching you, so be happy. Yeah.
Shots.
Yeah.
Yo, I should be in bed.
Tell her to go to sleep.
What the?
Number two, I did.
And I know it was the. It had to have been the. It had to be the 10-year-old, because I know a teenager ain't coming at me like that.
So back in 1938, Dick Post of Footville won his sixth county corn husking title in front of 15,000 people, watching a corn husking tournament.
Wow.
There you go.
Hey, it's possible.
There you go.
It's possible.
Everything is possible.
Yeah.
All right. So we know your events. Where can they find you on social media? This final shot is brought to you by, as I don't have the bottle in front of me for some reason, it's Schnapschlage. I probably butchered it. I'm sorry. You're probably going to listen to this show and hate me after the fact, but it's it kind of broke in. I liked it chilled, so we might not like it warm, but we can definitely have a little bit more after the fact of it chilled. But it is a aquavit, so Matt misses another chance at another aquavit from Seattle, from my trip to Seattle this week. So Urban Embodiment, social medias, how can they follow you? Go.
UrbanEmbodiment313@gmail.com. If you want to email us, Facebook, Urban Embodiment, or Instagram, Urban Embodiment.
All right, guys. Salut. Cheers. Enjoy.
And here we go. That was easy.
I tell you what, that was actually we're still live, by the way.
I mean, you can take them off. It's fine.
Need that catheter.
That was actually pretty smooth.
Yeah, I like it.
I thought that was gonna be like the first sip.
What was that?
That was an aquavit from Seattle.
Y'all got me together on this show. Look, anytime y'all need me, if one of y'all can't be here, I'll be here. Trust me. I like this show, man. We done did a lot of podcasts, a lot of interviews, but this one is the best, man. They didn't give me drinks on Fox, too.
Oh.
All right. We got some promo stuff right there.
Yeah, that's going to do it for us, Better on Draft. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Better on Draft, betterondraft.com. Check out the 20 beers to try at the Fall Beer Fest. We're going to be promoting again this weekend at Roke and Ellison. Roke both days, Ellison on Friday nights. That's going to do it for us. Yep. Me, Rob, Nick. I just saw he was at a wedding, so that's why he's not here. Matt's in Jacksonville. So two pretty good excuses. That's going to do it for us. Better on Draft. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.